Jeremiah 33 and 3. I'm just going to throw a lot of scriptures out tonight. Just pick up as God would lead you. I'm going to tell you something. I could say it prophetically or I can say it just in Texan. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. It's time for all of us to pray. I'm talking about myself and with all of us. Amen. I know there's a saying and I know there's a praying, and I believe in both. That's one good thing I like about this church. We keep it in balance, but we're not going to back off of it either. If all you do is a praying and you're not a saying, then you're missing part of it right there. You need to say, after you get through pray, you need to say what you've been praying. And if you're saying it, but it's not backed up with prayer, then you've got just a word game going there. But it's a saying and it's a praying. That wasn't in my thought or notes when I came up here, but that was a quickening of the Spirit. There's a saying and there's a praying. And there are things in, well, the things with me, things with our life, our ministry, things in the church, things with that we're endeavoring to do, things that we're reaching out to do. There are things that we have been called to do in this church that we can't do without the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't pull that load myself. I have enough sense after a few years to know not to try. But I know another thing, that nothing is impossible to a people who know how to pray in faith believing. Absolutely nothing. Time will prove whatever I say at this moment, but there is a fresh oil anointing that's beginning to flow into my life. I've let a lot of negative pressures and things around me, you know, people say, well, what about, you're human. And unfortunately, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And, you know, you can just stand so many kicks, and if you don't know how to override that with faith, it will affect you. It'll affect you whether you're preaching or whether you're just living, you know, whatever it is. But I have purposed in my heart. We have put things behind us, and I can't help who loves us or doesn't love us. I can't help who loves this church or doesn't love this church. I've done everything I know to make peace where it's right, and when people are deceived, you just can't penetrate. So there's no sense in wasting my time that I could be spending on good people that are going forward for God and hungry for God. I mean, hungry folks are here, you know. Praise God. I can't help it if folks aren't hungry and if folks choose to not, you know, believe the latest whatever. This is, I do know churches and I know church operations. I've been doing this for only 50 years and been in the ministry 60 years. That doesn't make me a specialist, but it makes me to know a little bit more than a lot of other folks. And I've learned a lot of things the hard way. This church is clean. This church is right. This church is legally correct. Our procedures are good. We just don't tell every little detail that some people want to hear. But outside of that, look at the fruit of this ministry. Just look at the fruit. Look at the fruit. You judge by the fruit. I'm not a judge from God's standpoint, but we judge the fruit. That's the way you judge any ministry. What is the fruit of that? So with that being said, hey, we put it in the rearview mirror, and we're going forward. And if God be for us, who can be against us? But the thing that I believe with all of my heart, we can't make it. We can't do anything that God's called us to do without prayer. We can't do it. Just can't do it. But there's enough. I mean, you say, well, if more praying people. Well, God's going to raise up intercessors. Some of the biggest problems in churches have come from intercessors who weren't loyal to leadership. I mean, that's like a team of horses pulling against each other. It doesn't work. But when you find a group of people that will pray and believe God and stand together, hell can't stop them. Can't stop them. Hallelujah. You can buck it and by faith. I've come through many a storm with less support than I should have had because I know the principles of faith, but I'll tell you what, it's a challenge. But if we all pull together, how happy we'll be. God wants every department in this church to prosper. God wants every ministry in this church to prosper. He wants our children and our youth, and He wants our prayer ministry and the outreach ministry. The things that we're doing are right. The things that we're doing are right. He wants our missions to prosper. He wants everything on this 17 and a half acres to prosper. But it all comes back to prayer. Gordon Lindsay used to say, every believer ought to pray at least one radical prayer every day. I didn't say that. Gordon Lindsay said it, but I agree with it. I agree with that. Dr. Gordon Lindsay was the founder of Christ for the Nations. And as we traveled with him over a period of time, I heard him teach this many times. Every Christian ought to pray at least one radical prayer. That means a prayer that's bigger than you are. That means a prayer that's not a pushover. I mean, it's something that only God can do. You know what I mean? Praise God. Hallelujah. And so I know when things are less, what to do, because we started with nothing. We started with nothing. Started with a $1,000 loan from a Baptist banker who said, son, there's the worst credit risk in the world is a young man starting a new church. But he said, something tells me you're going to make it. praise God. And those are the days we were always doing something. I remember the pews came in early for the little chapel. And I mean, they were just all kind of things. And we had some short-term loans. And one day I walked to the bank. We must have had seven or eight loans. I mean, it's chicken feed to what we face nowadays and in the ministry. But I mean, and I said, here's what we need. And I said, now let me tell you what we already owe you. He said, I know exactly what you owe, but he said, God's with you and you pay. He said, you're going to make it. He said, how do you want to handle it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God gave us favor with the Baptist banker. And I never will forget. They moved him on from Terrence State Bank over to Dallas. To the Baptist Association. He said, oh, my soul, son, what I could do for you if you were only Southern Baptist. my soul, I remember him saying that. But, you know, I had a bigger banker than Mr. Singletary. Precious man. Very good friend until the time he went on to be with the Lord. You know, thinking of prayer tonight, it was probably an hour and a half before we were leaving the house there. I walked into the kitchen and Joy walked in and Karen Huebner was there assisting us with our precious daughter. And I'm just getting ready to make a cup of coffee. And I mean, it just hit me. I said, let's praise the Lord. And we started praising the Lord in the kitchen. And about an hour and 10 minutes later, we're still having a prayer meeting. We're praising the Lord. We're praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. I mean, we were all fired up. God began to move, and Joy was praying, and Karen was praying, and we were lifting our hearts to God. I'm going to tell you, church, there's nothing impossible if we'll just stand and hold steady in faith believing and pray in faith believing. Things are accomplished through prayers of faith that can happen in no other way. Moses literally saved Israel. At one time, God was so frustrated with Israel. He said, I'll wipe them out and I'll raise up another people after you, Moses. But Moses was a true shepherd. Rather than seeing them wiped out, he said, no, God, if you're going to wipe them out, wipe me out too. Because they'll say back in Egypt, you could bring them out, but you couldn't bring them in. And an entire, God only knows what, 2 million people were saved because one man prayed. You think your prayer's not important? One man prayed, and God spared Israel. I go to Elijah, who prayed an 18-second prayer, and the fire of God fell. And the Ahab and the Jezebels and 850 liberal, false, antichrist prophets lost their head. Hallelujah. And Jesus, God was Lord of that nation, and righteousness won. Amen. You know, they said, Daniel, if you don't stop praying, you're going to the lion's den. He said, you don't understand. I can't keep living if I stop praying. So he kept on praying. They said, okay, the lion's den for you. But I'll tell you what, he just went into that lion's den and pulled up two king-size lion's beds and you know, it had the automatic vibrators. Those lions would breathe. And Daniel just had a good night's rest, you know. Praise the Lord. And the next morning, the heathen king came back and said, "Oh, Daniel is thy God whom thou servest forever." Good preaching, king. Is he taking, well, what's he saying that for if he doesn't believe he's there? What's he saying that for if he doesn't believe he survived the night? Oh, the king had more faith than most unbelievers have today. He said, "I know your God that you serve continually has brought you through." The Hebrew children, they threw them in the fiery furnace. Oh, praise God. But you know, the ones that threw them in were the ones that fell dead. And the Hebrew children, all the only thing the fire burned was the ropes that bound them. The only thing that burned was what, oh, glory to God. The only thing that burned was what bound them. I said the only thing that burned was what bound them. The fire did not burn them. Oh, hallelujah. You know, you just go into the Word of God, man, it's just absolutely awesome. Abraham prayed, and Lot and his family were saved. At least a part of them were. And you know, as I look at that, Abraham just began to intercede before God and interceded from what, 50 to down to 10. And God spared Lot, and he came out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Day of Pentecost, 500 people heard, "Go pray." 120 did. It's about like it works today. Except I think it had a pretty good ratio, 120 out of 500. 120 went to that upper room. On one of our pilgrimages over there, we went to the upper room. And I'm telling you, there was everything from soup to nuts there. I mean, there were liberals there. There were, I could not describe the diversity of what was in that room, in little pockets all over that room. And they asked me to lead our group in the upper room. And I thought, "Lord, what in the world are we going to do? What am I going to do?" I mean, I'm with a group of people. They're not very few in that early trip were of our own. We were with a lot of ministers I just met for the first time and other people. And I said, "God, what can I do? I'm supposed to lead this group, and we're here in the upper room. What am I going to do?" And God said, "See that platform?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Nobody's up there. Get up on the platform." Well, I scooted up on the platform, stood up, and I told our group, I said, "Right now, when I give the signal, we start praying in the Spirit." And everybody, we were in one accord. We were. I said, "We're going to pray in the Spirit." And our group started praying in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. And I mean, we got some rude looks. We got some mad looks. I mean, there were, I couldn't tell you all that was going on. They might have cussed us, and I didn't even understand the language. I don't know. But we just kept praying in the Spirit. And I'm telling you, a room of unbelief, a room of liberals, a room full of people that were there for historic reasons just began to go out the side doors. And when it was all said and done, there was our group there still praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praying in the Spirit works. Well, praise God. That was a moment I enjoyed. It was a test of faith, but I did it and God honored it. Praise the Lord. Acts the 4th chapter, they went out, they came back, and they prayed. And their leaders were beaten and threatened to not speak in the name of Jesus, but they prayed. Hallelujah, they prayed. Nothing can stop a praying church. Write it down. Nothing can stop a praying church. Nothing can stop a praying believer. Nothing can stop a praying ministry, a ministry that refuses to cease prayer. Paul and Silas were in jail, and in the midnight hour, they began to sing and give praises unto God. They had a midnight prayer meeting. Instead of a midnight pity party, they had a midnight prayer meeting, and God brought them out, and God brought them through. Peter was cast into prison, and they had several quaternions. What would that, the number, what would that be with Peter? How many soldiers did they have? 20 soldiers for a helpless preacher? 20 soldiers for a preacher that didn't pack or carry or have a sword? Or what? 20 soldiers to try to handle one man full of the Holy Ghost. Does that tell you what the devil, how the devil, hallelujah, at least 20 soldiers. I mean, they've got all their armor, they've got their swords, they've got everything to guard Peter. But oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. I'll tell you, our angels are bigger than all the forces that Satan could bring. And I said, our angels are greater, stronger, bigger. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, Peter goes to sleep. The angel walks in, kicks him in the side and said, get up, Pete. It's time to go. We've got to get out of here. Got a city to reach. And every time they'd come to a gate, the gate would just open. Automatic doors. Gates would open. They'd come to the next gate and that gate would open. They'd come to the next gate. And they had Peter way back in the hole. And finally they come to the gates to the city. And the gates to the city opened, because prayer opens the gates to the city. I said, prayer opens the gates to a city. Prayer opens the gates to a city. There are gates of the greater Fort Worth, Dallas area that cannot be penetrated in any way, form, or fashion except through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I'll just hit it lighter, but I'm telling you, the election we just got through with in our area, there were those that said abortion is, they had no convictions about abortion. They had no convictions about perversion. They had no convictions about what the Word of God speaks very plainly on. And were soundly defeated. I believe with all of my heart it's because of praying people. I heard the man that won on radio, a church radio program. He is genuinely born again. He is genuinely for Bible principles. He said, I am for what the Word of God declares. Hallelujah. So a man that did not believe in abortion, a man that did not believe in perversion and practicing and pursuing the filth of the world, won an election. I'm telling you, God's bigger than all the stuff that Satan could bring forth. Amen. Now, prayer that moves mountains. There are mountains. I have mountains in my life. After all these years, I still have some strong mountains that I'm facing. You have some mountains you're facing. Our church has some mountains we're facing. Amen. We have some mountains that we're facing. But God's given us 17 and a half acres. God's given us a building that we can seat around 1,600. Bo and Joyce Meyer was here. I think we had 2,300 people. I don't know where we put them all, but we have them and we counted. God's given us a piece of property that can make a difference and help shake the Metroplex. Hallelujah. We can double on services. We have two services on Sunday, but we can double, we can quadruple, we can triple, we can do whatever needs to be done. God's given us a wonderful opportunity. And as great as any church in the Metroplex, God has positioned this church to do greater things in greater waters, to reach greater harvest, to reach more people, to see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God stronger than ever before. And now there's a greater unity among us. There's a greater unity among us. Hallelujah. Can't help those that are not united. Can't help those that don't understand. But if those of us that do care and those of us that do believe will just hold tight in the Spirit, hell can't shake us. So prayers that move mountains, how do you get involved in that? Well, prayers of praise and worship. First of all, remember, as we come into the presence of God, prayers of praise and worship. That's what happened in our kitchen a while ago. Prayers of praise and worship. We just begin to praise God and glorify God. Just have a prayer meeting in the kitchen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We didn't kneel. I still was looking at the coffee maker an hour and 10 minutes later. Finally got a cup of coffee there. And I was watching and praying, drinking and praying. You know, praise God. Have a kitchen prayer meeting. Begin to praise God where you are. Begin to praise God right there that things are as good as they are. Hallelujah. I'm believing this year, just begin to praise God. I believe God's going to bring unsaved husbands in. I believe God's going to bring children, prodigal sons and daughters in. I believe God's going to bring prodigal granddaughters and grandsons in. God's going to bring in a harvest of our own family. We need to believe for revival in our own families. in our own families, in our own families. God's going to bring in children that need to be here, children that ought to be here, children that were blessed here, children that were educated here, children that have gone through so many blessings of God, and the devil has tried to come and steal and kill and destroy. But prayer makes the, prayer makes the difference. I said prayer jumps the fence. Prayer makes the difference. Prayer stops Satan in his tracks. Prayer stops craziness. Amen. Prayer stops insanity. Prayer gets people back on track. Shake their head like the prodigal son. He came to himself. When he left, he said, give me, give me, give me. When he came home, he said, make me, just make me a servant. That's how you know somebody's coming home. There's a humility of heart and humbleness of spirit. Prayers of praise and worship. Oh, praise be unto God. Secondly, there are prayers of thanksgiving. We need to be thankful for what God has already done. I said we need to be thankful. I said this morning, we need to forget what God says to forget, but we need to remember what God says to remember. Amen. We need to forget what God says to forget, but we need to remember what God says to remember. Be ye thankful is an admonition directly from the Word of God. Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And the Bible said, forget not all of His benefits. I don't know about you, but God's kept us alive. I said, God's kept us alive. Man, I feel like I've been released out of a prison, out of a jail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Amen. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Hallelujah. Prayers of thanksgiving. We need to have prayers of praise and worship. Then we need to have prayers of thanksgiving and gratitude to God. Amen. Oh, let's get gripe out of our vocabulary. Let's get gripe out of our disposition. Let's begin to say, look what the Lord has done. Woo, He healed my body. Oh, He saved my soul. Praise God. Then we need prayers of 100% commitment to God. Look over into the 12th chapter of Romans, if you would. Over in Romans, the body, the Word of God is very plain here. And I'm just turning, so we'll read it exactly. Praise God, Romans chapter 12. And I'll be there in just a moment. And some of you are already there. I'm turning, but we're going. Praise God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Amen, amen. Almost, almost, almost. Hallelujah. Here we are, Romans 13. Romans 13. No, that's not, Romans 12 is what I want to begin with. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, we preached this morning from Galatians 2. We're walking dead men and women. We're walking dead men and women, but we're alive because Christ lives within us. Hallelujah. And the life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave Himself for us. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. So we need to remember prayers of 100% commitment. I want to please God. I'm not talking about for your salvation. I'm not talking about brownie points or flying points. I'm talking about just grace points here today. We need to be committed to the Lord. Lord, I want to please you. Hallelujah. I set your love, Psalms 91. I set your love ever before me. I want to love God more than anything else. I want to love God first, best, and most. Prayers of 100% commitment to God. That's part of the praying process. If we're praying selfishly, it will never come to pass. Never come to pass. Then we go to Mark the 11th chapter. Mark the 11th chapter. There are so many verses on prayer. You know them as well as I do. Many of you do. Most of you do. But Mark 11, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. What's the answer to Calvary Cathedral International? Have faith in God. What's the answer to every one of our departments, every one of our outreach endeavors? What's the answer? Have faith in God. Remember, the life that I now live, Galatians 2 said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It really is that way to a certain extent, but we need to reinforce it. Everything we do on this hill is faith. It's all faith. It's all faith. You're saved by faith. You're kept by faith. You're filled by faith. God supplies your needs by faith. God brings you through the storm by faith. It's all faith. I know faith and grace, but it's all faith. It's all faith. Jesus said, have faith in God. Why did he say it? Because we've got to have it. The just shall live by his faith, Habakkuk says. The just shall live by his faith. I mean, we've almost got to become about half silly with this thing, the word with faith. You know, I'm getting out of bed. I'm getting out of bed in faith believing. I've been doing it the last few days. I get on the side of my bed and I said, here I come. In the name of Jesus, by faith, I'm getting out of bed. Hallelujah. By faith, I'm going to plug in this coffee. Praise God. It's going to be a good cup of coffee. I'm not delivered yet, so just pray for me. Praise the Lord. By faith, I put some honey in my coffee. Thank God, God supplies all my needs. Good North Dallas honey. Hallelujah. Praise God. By faith, I pray. We don't just pray and just go, by faith, I'm praying. By faith, I read the word. The word's a dead, it's just dead print if you don't mix faith with it. By faith, I'm reading God's word. God, make your word real to my heart today. By faith, hallelujah, we get in an automobile. You need to pray over your automobile before you leave. Father, in the name of Jesus, no wrecks, no accidents, no car trouble, no tickets. Oh, God, heal my lead foot. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need to pray before we leave. You're on a freeway with crazy people. People that are crazy. Amen. I drive in faith. I'm coming to church in faith. I come to this pulpit in faith. I listen to the praise singers and participate in faith. This is not an entertainment center. It's a praise and worship center. Hallelujah. I hear the word of God through faith. I receive the word of God through faith. Every time I hear a message, I will hear something from God. I'll hear something from God that I can take home with me, that I can put into practice. I'm not just hearing 30 minutes or 45 minutes or an hour of what somebody thinks about it. I'm reaching out for a word from God. So many of you told me the message this morning, the word you got from that is Galatians 2, even though we were in Philippians 3. The life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. Thank God when my faith gets thin, his faith gets thick. When my faith gets tired, his faith has just begun. When my faith reaches out as far as it can reach out, there's a hand that slips into my hand. And glory to God, I'm unstoppable. You're unstoppable. I live by the faith of the Son of God. You can't lose when you live by the faith of Jesus. Thank God, thank God. Now we're ready to pray some radical prayers. Church, we got to pray radical prayers. We got to get radical about this thing. Well, just whatever will be, whatever he wants. You know, every once in a while I hear that and spirit of slap just comes all over me. And I don't mean to be unkind, but you know, when I'm in the hospital and someone's in a serious condition, well, just whatever he wants. There's no fight there whatsoever. I mean, the only way out is up. I don't know where you may be tonight. I know some of the things that where I am, but the only way out is up. The only way out. Write that down. The only way out is up. It's not in our strength, in our ability. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. The only way out is up. The only way out is up. You've heard me say that before. That's not new to those that hear me quite often. So it's time for radical prayers. And as Dr. Gordon Lindsay said, every believer ought to pray at least one radical prayer every day. That means that you have something that you know you can't do. That means that you pray something that goes beyond your abilities. That means that you know that only God can accomplish this in you or in your family or in your finances or whatever. A radical prayer. Change in us and change in others. Change in us and change in others. That means a radical prayer about your health. Brother Dale Gentry, I know when Gene, they diagnosed her as having cancer, and he mentioned the other day, it just came out of my spirit. He called me and we were praying together. And I said, whatever your choice is, be radical about it. Folks, it's time we get radical. Then we got to get more radical. I know you're already radical, but we got to get more radical. Hallelujah. Don't slap the devil on one side of the cheek. Slap him on both sides. Praise God. Hallelujah. We got to get radical, radical faith. Got to get more radical in our faith. You say, well, I've been doing this a long time. Well, revive, revive. Hallelujah. I want you to be so on your toes, I can throw you a piece of raw meat in the air and you'll jump up and catch it at 10 feet before it hits the pew. Praise God, you'll get a hold of God's word. You won't say, what did he say, Mabel? Praise God. We got to be militant. We got to get about half ticked, about half mad in faith believing and say, if God said it, I believe if that settles it, then we're going to see it. Satan's not going to steal, kill, and destroy without protest. Praise be unto God. I'm seeing change in some things, in some areas, and some people. And I'm seeing other things that only God can bring change. And I know that. We got to get radical. We got to get radical. Do you understand what I'm telling you? It's not business as usual. Jesus is coming soon. In the last days, there will be perilous times. Dr. Ken Stewart used to say when he was with us many years ago, times and people that are hard to deal with. That's what perilous really the meaning of the times and people. And have you noticed there are people that are difficult to deal with? There are times that are difficult to deal with. Everything's in the process of change except God Almighty. Hallelujah. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. He got it right the first time. I said, God gets it right the first time. Get back on basics. Get back to your basic foundation. Don't let anything, people, circumstances, or situations shake you off of thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. It's the only thing that's ever worked. It's the only thing that's going to work. Oh, praise God. Your health. Speak health. You know, the biggest mistake, I think the older I get, the more I understand this and I see it and I understand it. You know, we wait until we get sick and then we panic to try to get us some health. You need to confess, believe and confess good health while you feel good. You say, well, I feel good. Oh, that's good. Get on it where you are. I'll tell you, when I get up in the morning, one of my prayers, Father, I believe that today and every day I walk in divine health. I believe that I walk today and every day in divine health. I believe I have the mind of Christ, the wisdom of God. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I put on the whole armor of God, my mind, my breastplate. Oh, every part of my body is covered. I mean, this is real life. This is real life. Hallelujah. Just speak good health. Speak good health. It's time to start speaking blessings. You say, well, I don't know. It's just like nothing good ever. Well, you just keep talking like that and you're going to stay where you are. It's going to get worse. You're stuck in the mud and you're going to get stuck deeper. Start speaking the blessings of God. Hallelujah. Some way, some. Now, you've got to give it your best. You've got to cooperate with God. You can't be lazy and see these things come to pass. But, folks, I mean, you know, one way or another, you're going to get radical. You get in trouble, you're going to get radical. Do you ever see people down at the bail bondsman? I mean, some of the most radical people you'll ever meet in your life. I mean, they mortgage their cat, they mortgage their wife, they mortgage their kids. I mean, anything, get me out of this jail. Get me out of jail. I mean, they're desperate. I mean, they're pleading. They're on their knees. I've been around a bail's bondsman's office. I mean, people are desperate. When you get in trouble, you're going to be desperate on the other side of the fence. Let's get desperate on the God side of the fence. I said, let's get desperate on the God side of the fence in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some way, somehow, God's going to bring me through this. Somehow, God's going to bring me on top. Somehow, God's going to prosper me and bless me. Some way, somehow, God's going to bring me through. God's going to make a way. Oh, Lord God, the radical prayers I've, just the radical prayers that I've prayed over the years, and back in the post office days. I mean, back when things, I mean, it almost seems foolish compared to all the responsibilities that we have today. But it was real then. It was real then. And we'd pray it in and pray it through. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pray it in, pray it through. Pray it in, pray it through. Now, it's got to be in faith believing. It's not an endurance contest. It's in faith believing. And I'm trying to keep everything in balance. But I'm telling you, there's not one need that's in this room tonight but that God has the answer. God's bigger than your problem. God's bigger than your need. God's bigger than your challenges. God's bigger than your companion if there's a problem there. God's bigger than your children. God's bigger than your grandchildren. God's bigger than your great-grandchildren. God is able. God is able. God is able. This world is crying out for what we have in this room tonight. I looked around Christmas Day and looked at our family as we were there in the family room, and I said, thank God our children are not in jail tonight. Thank God they're not coming off drug highs. Thank God they're not out in some pool of perversion. Thank God my grandchildren, they're all serving God. Our family's serving God. Hallelujah. And that doesn't make us any better than anybody else, but it was something I was real thankful for. We need to thank God things are as good as they are. You say, well, it's not that way with me. Well, I'm trying to help you out. I'm trying to help you out. I'm telling you how to. Let's get there. Let's get on top. And on the way to win a harvest, God wants you to win your own family. Amen. Thank God. You know, this morning, you gave us the testimony. Praise God. Praise God. I mean, novel idea. These soul winners go out. They don't stop at the front door. Anybody else in the house? I mean, why not get five saved instead of one saved? Hey, why not get 10 saved instead of one saved at the door? I mean, just go for the pot of gold. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm about to get somebody fired up here. I'm about to get somebody fired up. Amen, amen. Radical prayers bring radical results. Hallelujah. Radical prayers. John 4, it just told us to believe for the harvest. Call laborers into the harvest. We need some laborers around here. We need more laborers. We need them in the children's ministry. We need them in the youth ministry. We need them in the power tower. We need them in outreach. It's amazing the crew that we have that's going out, because the direct number of people going out has a direct bearing on how many souls get saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'll say it again because I want you to know it better than I know. I know those people say, well, how do you know they're all saved? Well, I'm not going to say what I usually say at that point. But I mean, how do you know they're all saved? I don't know. I'm not God. All I'm doing is obeying God. All our church is doing is obeying God. I can't save a fly or a gnat. I can't do it. God can. And in the final day, that number of people will never be able to say, no one ever told me how to get born again. No one ever told me how to be saved. Well, in our church, we're conservative. We don't give altar calls, and we don't want to embarrass anybody. You know, if you feel that you have need of God, just wink at an usher. That'll get you in trouble too, son. Woo! Nowadays, there's some strange folks roaming around some churches. Amen. No, you don't want to do that. Praise God. In front of God and everybody, we give an altar call. People come forward. We take them back. We counsel with them. I'm not ashamed of offerings. Well, we just hide. I don't mean to be mean or tacky. But, well, we just hide the offering bucket. And if they're led by the Spirit to find the offering bucket, they can give. Come on. Give me a break. You don't want your paycheck like that, do you? All right, let's move on here real quick. Amen. We just in front of God and everybody, we receive offerings. In front of God and everybody, we pray. In front of God and everybody, we give an altar call. In front of God and everybody, we praise the Lord. Oh, radical prayers bring greater harvest, greater results. Radical prayers. Hallelujah. For this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This is the victory. There's not one loser in this room tonight. If you're a loser, you're a loser by choice. If you're a loser, you're a loser by choice. But if you'll just listen to just a little bit of the word that's coming tonight, tonight can be your night of turnaround. Tonight can be the night to get it going in the right direction. Make Jesus the total Lord of your life. You're born again. Why not enjoy the best that God has for you? Praise God. Oh, it's so important. Our prayers are so important. Radical prayers. Oh, radical prayers. I can't get started on some of the radical prayers that I've prayed. Oh, Rabahiyaturasa. When you don't know what to do, you don't know which way to go. It seems like everything around you is just, what do I do? Where do I go? What? Oh, pray, 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 pray. Pray, 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 pray prayers of faith believing. Pray bold prayers. Pray radical prayers. Hallelujah. Pray, pray, pray. Expect miracles. Pray, 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 pray. Hallelujah. Well, there's a lot of things that come to my heart, but I just think of John on the Isle of Patmos. He was cast out on that lonely rock heap out there. No one's there, no cell phones. He couldn't text anybody. He's out there. No one cares. He's out there, and it's Sunday, and there's not a church in sight. There's not a fellow believer in sight. And you know, John on the Isle of Patmos, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Hallelujah! He found the fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost to be better than human fellowship anyway. And as he worshiped God, as prayer and worship was a part of that Lord's Day, we got the revelation out of that. Take your rock heap and rise above it. Take your rock heap and rise above it. You know, two things, and there's a lot of things we could say, but two things that I would say, and then I want us to pray. But let's go back to the 11th chapter of Mark's gospel. Jesus answering saith unto them, verse 22, have faith in God. What's the answer to you, your family, your children, your husband, your wife, the circumstances, your life? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say, whosoever, how many whosoevers do we have here tonight? Whosoever is a breathing believer. How many breathing believers do we have here tonight? Okay, call 911. We got three or four that are. Whosoever shall say, if you're a breathing believer, you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever. I didn't write this. I didn't write it. Kenneth Hagin didn't write this. This is God Almighty. Whatsoever he shall have, whatsoever he saith. You say, well, I used to believe that. Yeah, that's why you're bogged down right now. You used to believe it. We got to get back to that radical stance of standing firm in present day truth. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire. Do we have some desires, some godly desires here tonight? First of all, I know you do because you're in church on Sunday night. Folks on Sunday night, they came on purpose. You came on purpose. Now, I know there's some people because of work schedules that's the better way for them. But I'm telling you, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, we're going to pray here in just a minute. Whatsoever things you desire. What do you do about that? Wish, hope. If it weren't for bad luck. You know, it's just foolish me to give this illustration, I guess. But, you know, you go into a 7-Eleven or you go into a Shell station and you can't even buy gas or a car wash for the lion that's there hoping they're going to get rich. And you see poor people, you look the way they're dressed. I mean, they're scratching in their pocket to find enough to buy another scratch or whatever. If I've heard it once, God knows how many times I've heard, I never win anything. Well, honey, let me tell you how to be a winner. Let me tell you how to win every time. You can pick up this piece of paper, and I tell you, this thing's loaded. The Word is loaded. You win every time you read it. You win every time you believe it. You'll never leave 7-Eleven. You'll never leave a Shell station or whatever establishment. Well, I never win anything. I never win anything. You win every time you believe God. You win every time you believe God. Oh, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Who wrote this? Anybody got red letters in your Bible? Is this red letter? Is this red letter stuff? You're sure now? Correct me if you're sure this is red letter. This is Jesus talking. Okay. He shall have them. Praise God. And I know it talks about when you stand praying, forgive. And I embrace that 100%. And every day in faith believing, I'm not spiritual enough to conquer it completely, but I'm still got my faith out there. And I say, I need forgiveness, so I forgive anyone who's not been nice to me. Praise the Lord. A couple of stories came to me this last week about when you pray. When you pray, expect something. When we pray tonight, I'm expecting something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been blessed because the pastor of years ago of First Baptist over in Dallas used to come often to my uncle who was manager of the Adolphus in Dallas. And he'd come and he led my uncle to the Lord Jesus. That pastor made a project out of my uncle Paul and would come to that hotel and sit down with him and talk to him many times, and thank God he led him to Jesus. And so I've always had a soft place in my heart for the fact that they believe in soul winning, and my family was greatly blessed through that. But two stories came out of that institution in Dallas. Dr. Criswell, who was pastor for 50 years, Dr. W.A. Criswell of First Baptist in Dallas, he was praying a number of years ago. And on one special day, he said, God, I need to know. I need to have confirmation that what we're trying to do, right across the street was First Christian Church, and they'd either moved or I don't know what had happened, but the building was for sale. It was in downtown Dallas. It was valuable property. They needed to buy it. It's kind of like our Hillside property was down here by Forest Park Boulevard. They needed it for future expansion. And he had given this day to prayer and to fasting and seeking God. And the phone rang, and he said usually he didn't respond to a phone during times of prayer, but something's, and he picked up his phone in his study. And it was a lady that they were quite wealthy, quite well off. A name I didn't recognize. She's obviously gone to be with the Lord several years ago. But they had a foundation, and they were giving people and she said, Dr. Criswell, I'm sorry to disturb you, but I felt like God told me to call you today. And he said, well, thank you. And she said, what are you believing God for today? And he said, well, to be honest with you, I'm believing God for First Christian Church across the street here that we can buy that property. And he said, before he could say anything else, she said, just go buy it. It'll be there. It'll be there. It'll be there. Just go buy it. Didn't ask how much it was, but the money was there. The money was there. Folks, there's no shortage on money. There used to be semblances of that in Fort Worth. Everywhere you look, there's building cranes. Hospitals are expanding. They're building this. I can't even believe we need more banks, but every corner you look at, You talk about a church on every corner. We got a bank on every corner now. I mean, they just keep building. Somebody's got money. Somebody's spending money. Somebody is keeping the construction business going. Amen. And so here's a man in prayer. I need to know something today, God, and a call comes through. What are you believing God for? Hallelujah. Well, first, this church across the street, just go buy it. It's yours. Go buy it. Go buy it. Go buy it. And the present pastor who's there, of course, they just got through with the $133 million project expansion. And I don't know all that's involved, but it's lovely and so on. But he was in his study in the process of preparing for that. And he was crying out to God. He said, God, am I on the right track? This is going to cost a lot of money here in downtown Dallas to do what we're doing. It's going to cost money. It's going to cost money. Oh, God, I need to know, are we pursuing the right thing? Are we going in the right direction? And the phone rings. And again, there was somebody on the line, member of their church. And he said, Pastor, you know, for 6 months, God's been dealing with us. For 6 months, but God said, call today. And the pastor had just said, today. And God said to the people, today. And the people call. And they said, what do you believe in God for? And he told them about the expansion of the project. And it was a very expensive project. And the largest single one-time gift in 140-year history of First Baptist Church. They said, this is what God's told us to give. And it gave the thing a giant push in the beginning. You know, the thing, when I hear stories like that, I said, you know, if God's done it once, God can do it again. I said, if God's done it once, God can do it again. If God's done it once, he can. I'm not just talking about trying to copy something or carbon copy, but I'm just saying there are needs here right now and things that we need to do and things that we need to, you know, we're at the end of the year. We're not having to raise 30% of our budget like most major ministries are in the month of December. Thank God we're not in that position, but, you know, money's real money. And I'm believing God for miracles. But if God's done it before, God can do it again. If God's done it once, God can do it twice. God is not limited. The only thing that limits God is our lack of faith. I said the only thing that limits God is our lack of faith. There's money all over this greater Fort Worth area. Money, money, real money. I'm talking about serious money. It's all over. People are spending money like it's going out of style. Amen. I won't even go. And you just run across some things. You hear some things. You read some things. And you know, tonight I want us to start believing God. I'm believing God for greater finance in your life. If you're a giver, if you're a tither, I'm believing for God for greater. You know, if you're not, then I agree with Oral Roberts' statement. You know, when God blesses a person, either God gains a partner or Satan gains another fool. When God blesses us, God expects us to respond to the kingdom of God with that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you say, well, I've got to store up. Well, God expects you to be sensible with what you do. But folks, the trumpet's going to sound one of these days, and you're going to leave it all behind except what you sent before. The only thing that's going to be saved is what we've sent before. Amen. Joy and I have been blessed over the last few years, but what a lot of people don't realize, we also have the care of a daughter that's been very expensive, and our giving, we finally had somebody that outgave us in the last couple of years. I mean, we give a large percentage of what comes to us. We give it, it plows it right back into the church time and time again. Time and time again, because I believe in this place. I believe in this house. When the tornadoes came, that's why we were willing to pull out our own personal funds to keep the staff going. And there's staff that we sweat blood to pay their salaries that became ingrates. And a spirit of entitlement just overwhelmed them. They act like a spoiled kid that thinks you ought to do things for them. You know, folks, this place is not here because of every day being a sunshiny day. This place is here because of blood and sacrifice and prayers and faith and people that believed God. It's here because of serious reasons. I believe in this house. I believe in Calvary Cathedral International. I'm not talking about worshiping ability, but I believe in a warehouse that's dedicated to the winning of souls. I believe in a warehouse that's dedicated to revival. I believe in a warehouse that's dedicated to people being filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe in a warehouse that's dedicated to mending broken marriages and bringing prodigal sons and daughters. I believe in this house. I believe in this house. I believe. I'm consumed with a faith that has believed for 50 years that God has raised this place up. If it would not have been gone a long time ago. Long time ago. But thank God it's the vision that keeps me alive. It's the vision that keeps me alive. So tonight, I just say radical prayers bring radical results. You have some radical needs in your life. You're at the right place at the right time. We're going to turn our faith loose, but it's more than words. You got to drive a stake and stay with it. And on Monday morning when you don't feel nothing, you're going to say, I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. On Tuesday, I believe God. Wednesday, I believe God. Every day you've got to keep the switch of faith turned on. Don't listen to the naysayers. Don't listen to the negative folks. They've got their problems. But you just take the nailed, scarred hand of Jesus and say, I'm a team member. I'm a team member. I saw Whataburger team. I've seen McDonald team. I've seen a number of these hamburger places. We're team McDonald. We're team Whataburger. Well, thank God we're team Calvary Cathedral International. And together we can reach more souls than we can reach individually. I'm on the team. Are you on the team? Hallelujah. Sheila Borabakata. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them. If there's an outstanding need in your life, write it on a piece of paper. Don't put your name. Don't put your initials on it. We're going to just bring it to the Lord here in this front area, and we're going to stand up and we're going to pray a radical prayer in this house tonight. We're going to pray a radical prayer. Hallelujah. I'm calling in people from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I'm calling in money from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Hallelujah. I'm calling in a greater harvest of souls. I'm calling in a greater Bible college. I'm calling in a greater Calvary Christian Academy. Amen. And I'll tell you how we can enrich that. We can just be here. We can just be here. Just be here. Come with faith, believing. You say, well, I don't have much to give. Give what you can. That's all God ever asked. Do what you can do. Just trust and obey. But do it in faith, believing. Don't just plunk it your check in the bucket or your tithe in the bucket. In faith, believing. Father, I'm investing in a house that's reaching out for souls. Praise be unto the Lord. Hallelujah. It's hard to find evangelists today. Where are the evangelists? And even with gospel singers, I mean really anointed gospel singers, it's amazing. With all the money that's in the world, it's a challenging day for evangelists. And it's a challenging day for pastors. Unless you just have a big mega something, and even that doesn't produce a lot of people that tithe a lot of times. People just there for the ride. But I believe that God has people here on Sunday night. You say, well, you ought to preach this on Sunday morning. Well, I will if God tells me to. But you understand, you don't need a big crowd. You just need a believing crowd. You don't need a big crowd. You need a believing crowd. The 500 would have been nice, but 120 got the job done. And there was a wind that began to blow and a fire that began to burn. And 3,000 precious, ever-living, never-dying souls came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Write down what you're going to leave at the altar tonight. What you're believing. Today, we wrote down what we're forgetting, what we're putting by. You can do that tonight if you want to, that if you weren't here this morning. But what are you going to put, what are you going to just leave at the altar tonight? I'm believing God for this. It's all right for one thing. It's all right for two or three things. You got to be careful not to put too many there, but keep your faith focused. Keep your faith focused. Hallelujah. No matter what I see, no matter how I feel, no matter what he say, she say, they say, it's what you say that makes the difference. Praise God. It's not who's let you down. It's not who didn't come through. It's not who loves you or doesn't love you. You Please get some of these buckets up here. Quick. Somebody help me. Come on, Brother Dan. Glory to God. Our bucket or basket or whatever. We're just going to come leave that. And we're going to stand and we're going to pray. Amen. I'm not going to hold you a long time, but it's time to pray. It's time to pray. God has given us. God has kept us. We've come this far by faith. We've come this far. The hand of God is upon this house. We don't have time to be offended. We don't have time to play games. We don't have time to be mad at one another. That's silly stuff. That's kid stuff. It's time to hit the deck and do what God's... And we are. We are. It's time to hit the deck and go forward. It's going to be a lot of good changes this year. We're just trying to figure out how to facilitate them. Amen. Call in. We're going to call in laborers. We're going to... Don't let me forget. We're going to call in laborers. We need laborers in so many of our departments right now. Praise be unto God. Father, I've just put a lot of things out here tonight. Call upon me, and I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things. If God, any rivers you think are uncrossable, any mountains you can't tunnel through, God specializes in things thought impossible. He will do what no other power can do. Praise God. Praise God. That was a good offering teaching a while ago, Robbie. That was anointed. God used. You stirred Granddaddy's heart on that. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Are you believing God tonight? How many believers do we have here? What are you believing God for? Just put it in the offering bucket, in the basket there. What are you believing God for? Hallelujah. We're going to have just some moments of prayer here. Just a few moments. Praise be unto God. Yeah. And I'm not playing games here tonight. I mean, just say, I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. And just come and, just come stand with us. When you come bring that, just come stand with us. We're going to have a final prayer together tonight. Praise be unto God. It's time to see families change. It's time to see children change. It's time to see grandchildren change. It's time to call our families in. It's time. It's time. It's time to call in from the highways, the hedges, the streets, the lanes, people that need Jesus. We've obeyed the Lord in going out. Now it's coming in time. Witness when and bring them in. I mean, more and more on Sunday morning, people are coming and shaking my hand and said, thank you for sending people out to our neighborhood. Thank you for sending people out to our community. I mean, and they're coming, and they're coming back, and they're coming back. Praise God. And they're thankful. You see the way they're dressed? They're dressing better. Somehow they're getting here better. What we're doing is working. We just need it working on a greater basis. You understand what I'm saying? Praise God, praise God, praise God. Now we're going to just jump into it right now. First of all, just say, I'm on the team, Lord. I'm committed. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't have time to fuss, gossip, or debate. I'm just going forward in the name of Jesus. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Brother Dan, come call laborers into the harvest here.
Hallelujah. Lord, we just call forth laborers right now in the name of Jesus into this place. Lord, you even said to pray that the Lord would raise up laborers. God, I know you would not have told us to do that if you weren't planning on doing that if we would ask. So, Lord, right now in faith believing, we call forth laborers into the harvest field, God. We thank you for those disciples, Father God, that will go out and that will lead many to righteousness, God, and that will shine like the stars forever. Lord, we just thank you for the strategies, Lord, to bring the people in, Father God. We thank you. You're stirring up people's hearts, even people in this house right now, God, that you're stirring in their hearts to go out, Lord, to go out and to reach the lost. Lord, those that are watching right now on the internet, Father God, that are just sitting there thinking, man, I would sure love to do that. God, that you're showing them, and there's a spark of faith in their heart right now. And I just see you saying, I'm going to come and I'm going to win souls with Calvary Cathedral. God, I thank you, you're bringing people from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. We thank you, God, for what you've already done in the past. But Lord, we just declare in the name of Jesus that more laborers are coming to this house because they hear we are a soul-saving station, a soul-winning station, a harvest field. And Lord, we thank you, you're bringing in harvesters, God. Lord, from every state, Lord, and from countries. Lord, I thank you, you're bringing in people of other languages, God, to reach the international community in DFW. Father God, from this house, Lord, we just thank you, God, you're raising up laborers for such a time as this, God. Lord, that you're giving us the heart and the passion, God, the strength. I thank you for health to our soul winners' bodies. God, that not there, let there not be one feeble one among us, God. I thank you every person as they go out, God, that there's healing in their bodies as they begin to go out and labor, as they begin to go out and work for you. God, that you're paying bills. Father God, you're taking care of their needs. Lord, as they're working for you, as they're laboring for you, God, I thank you, Lord, that you're at work for them. And God, you're bringing a faith that rises in their hearts. God, that every person that says yes to Jesus is another soul that's going from hell to heaven, Father God. I thank you, Lord, every time we speak the word of God, that it is a success, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you're bringing in those people, Father God, who have a heart and a passion to reach the lost. Lord, we just thank you for help. Lord, we just cry out for help right now. Y'all just begin to cry out for help. Say, Lord, help us. God, help us. Lord, you see that we're reaping the harvest. God, you see that we're working. Lord, you see that we're going out, God. Lord, we ask for help. Lord, help. God, help us. Send reinforcements, God. Send others, Father God. Send those 11th hour workers, Father God. Those that are just standing around, that have nothing else to do. That say, well, I've got nothing else to do. Well, why don't you come to Calvary Cathedral and help us reach the lost? Those that are in ministry, God, I thank you, Lord. I just speak this forth. I see people that have been in ministry that have not been a success at what they've been doing, and they don't know what to do. They're at the end of their rope, and they say, I might as well go to Calvary Cathedral International and help them reach the lost because they're reaching the lost. They're reaching people for Jesus. I thank you for ministries coming in and hooking up with us that will go out and that will reach the lost with us, Father God. And Lord, that you're reactivating some ministers. I just thank you, God, you're reactivating some ministers. Maybe those that haven't led anyone to the Lord in a long time, that used to be on fire for God, that you're reactivating, God. You're reactivating those who have been dormant, those that have been set aside, maybe even those that have been pushed aside by the church. Lord, I thank you, you're reactivating people. God, who have a heart to preach the gospel and maybe no outlet to do it. God, I thank you that you're bringing them into this place and to say, this is somewhere where I can reach the lost. I can preach the gospel. I can bring people into a church that's on fire for God. Lord, I thank you for those who have the abilities, the equipment, the expertise, God. We thank you, Lord, for the increase that is coming as a result of that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Where's Robbie? Where is he? All right. Yeah, there we go. Come on, come on, brother. I need you. Yeah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. I thought you were going to come call for more babies. That's right. Call for youth. Let's call. Young people need Jesus, right? Young people need you. They're seeking. They're searching.
Father, we speak right now to the youth of this city, the youth of this area. Father, we just call them out, Father, and we say they're not too far gone. They're not out of reach, Father. We just speak to this generation, Lord. This next generation, Father, and we just speak right now. We dedicate it and we claim it for the kingdom of God right now, Father. We say that they will not get off track, that they will not go into the world seeking those things that will not fulfill, Father. I thank you, Father, that they will begin to seek you. Father, we just call for more effective ways to reach the youth, things that will draw them in, Father. Show them who you are and what you have, Lord. We just thank you for the relationships that our youth have with the youth in the secular world, Father. We just say they're going to be a light. They're going to be salt. They're going to influence. They're going to be influencers, not influencees. Father, we just speak to the youth of this area right now, Father, and we call them in. We call them in right now, Father. We say that they are claimed, that they are paid for, that they are bought, Father. We just cry out for the city of Fort Worth and the youth of this city, Lord. We say that they will not be lost. They will not go astray. They will not go the way of the evil one, Father. We just right now, we just stake a claim right now, and we say, youth of this city, you belong to Jesus. Youth of this city, you belong to Jesus. Father, we just cry out right now. Just begin to speak in tongues. Just begin to cry out. Father, we just pray for the youth of people that are here, Father. We know that there are grandparents and parents here, Father, that have teenagers, that have youth, Father. We speak to those right now. We call for household salvation, Lord. We cry out for their souls, Lord. We cry out for them right now. We say, devil, you will not have them. Devil, you will not win them. Father, just give them, create a new hunger, Father. A new hunger, Father, a drawing that they won't, that the things of the world won't be appealing, that they won't even look, they won't even wonder. Father, just show them who you are, Father. Just begin to make yourself more real to this next generation than you ever have, Father. We just cry out for revival among the youth. We just cry out for revival in high school. We cry out for revival in junior high, in public and private school. Father, we cry out right now for the youth. We just cry out for the youth. We say, you will not go astray. You will meet the plans and purposes. You are the generation of today, not of tomorrow, Father. We just call them in. We call in music ministry. We call in evangelists. We call in pastors, teachers. We call in disciples. We call in soul winners, Father, of a youth generation that will change the face of what youth looks like today. Father, we just cry out right now. Kori kishti ando kore dede. Kori didi ki ando ro kore dede. Don't listen to me. You just pray. You cry out from your heart. You cry out from your heart right now. Kori kishti diki. Youth, we cry out to you right now. We call them saved. We call them chosen, Lord. Kori kishti ando kore dede. Kori nini ki. We say that you will not miss the calling. You will not miss the purpose that God's placed on your life. We call for a new pure generation, a new level of purity in a world of filth. Father, we just cry out for purity. We cry out for purity, Lord. We cry out for set apart youth. Set apart youth. Set apart youth. Kori kishti ando kore dede. We call this next generation of youth, Father, to be the stirrers, Father. Not parents dragging them to church, but them bringing their parents to church. Not people dragging them to revival, but them dragging revival into the places that they go. We call them influencers for you. Kore kishti ando kore dede ke. Rondo kore dede kishti didi ki. Thank you, Lord, for such a time as this. For such a time as this. We cry out for the youth of this generation, the youth of Fort Worth, for such a time as this.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want us just to join our hearts and call people in from the north, the south, east, and west. That need to be, everyone does need to be here, and some people aren't supposed to be here. So I'm not trying to, we're not trying to, you know, the fastest growing church usually emptied somebody's church down the street. But I'm talking about people that need God, and what they find here can meet their need, and they can be born again, spirit filled, and God can do a work in their life. Amen. Let's call people in from the north, the south, east, and the west. Father, we call people in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Lord, people that need what is in the house, people that need a safe harbor, families that need church that ministers the word of God. Oh, Father, we call them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. those that have been in church and then something got them tripped up, whatever it is, Father, bring in people that are hungry for God, happy to be here. Oh, bring in people that are to be born again, set free by the power of God in Jesus' name. Lord, all these apartments that are being built and all the new facilities, Father, we just call in. People are moving into the Metroplex. They're moving in, and we call them in the name of Jesus. We call them in the name of Jesus. I said we call them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Dr. Stumbo, I want you to come and let's call in business and entrepreneur people that need a good foundation, need a good home church. Just, if you would, just lead us in prayer there.
Lord, Father, we ask for those to come in who will have the anointing, the ability, the desire, the call upon their life to underwrite the expenses of this church and of the kingdom of God and of the movement that you have in this day and time for this ministry in the name of Jesus. We call those in now, Lord. Feel in my spirit, Lord, you've already spoken to some of them. Now we call them in the name of Jesus. We tell them to go ahead and come on in now. That we need you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. From whatever source you want to bring the people in, Lord, that have the ministry, the ministry of giving, Lord, to support this church and to support this ministry, to support the movement of God that's here at this time, we ask for them to come in now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it be business people, Lord, in the name, you've used business people in the past, Lord. Whether it be investors, Lord, in Jesus' name. People who are in the habit of giving to needy causes and to places where they feel that their money is going to do some good. We call them in right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Those entrepreneurs, Lord, who are reaching out, Lord, in new areas and in new directions in this day and time, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. In these new electronic ages, in this new cyberspace world that we live in, the new cloud that we're in now today, Father, in Jesus, so many people going so many directions and so much opportunity there. We call that in, Lord. We need you guys. Lord, put it upon their hearts now. And we just ask now that they go ahead and come on in as soon as they can, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We call people in now whose heart is right before the Lord. Not just people coming in throwing money at some kind of a project. Lord, we need people of faith that will be coming in, putting faith behind what they give in the name. Well, we need that for all of us too. We just don't throw money at something and expect a miracle of God. We put faith behind it. We command any giving that we do to accomplish the will of God in the name of Jesus. We insist that whatever finances we give of our own birth, whether it's $5 in the offering bucket or whatever it is, we claim and we announce and pronounce that is going to accomplish the will of God. We put our faith into it in the name of Jesus. And these type of financiers, Lord, that we need in the kingdom of God in this day and time, we call in that same kind of faith, Lord, in Jesus' name, that will not just donate to some kind of a project because they think that might be a good idea somewhere, but someone will put their faith, and even as the pastor has reminded us, their radical faith behind it, Lord, to see and insist that the will of God be done in this giving, Lord, in Jesus' name. We call it in. Now, one other thing, Lord, we call for wisdom of the financing of the kingdom of God for those who are handling the finances. Lord, give them wisdom. And that's one prayer that you give us very specifically in your word. If any lack wisdom, Lord, let him ask. And you won't be upset if they ask for wisdom, Lord, in Jesus' name. That one specific prayer out of all of the general type of praying it talks about, that's one specific prayer that the Lord gives us, to ask for wisdom. So, Lord, we ask now for wisdom for those in our church and in those in the ministry that is associated with us to have wisdom on dealing with finances. And now I ask for wisdom for every person.